السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Today marks the first day of the Islamic calendar as the first of Muharram in the year 1447 after the Hijrah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of Muharram, this also marks the anniversary of one of the greatest events that shaped the history of Islam, and that was the martyrdom of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anh, the second Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Amirul Mu'mineen, such a great personality in Islam, about whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that when shaitan sees him walking down a path, then shaitan runs away and takes a different path than the path of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that in every ummah of every Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, there have been such people who have been muhaddath, who have been specially inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, if there are any amongst my ummah, then that would be Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an. There are so many different instances that ulama have written entire books in the instances in which Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an had said a statement, and later on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent a revelation in concordance to the statement of Umar radiallahu an, the muwafaqat of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an. And the feats that Umar radiallahu an he achieved in his khilafah were second to none. We know that many different lands entered into the fold of Islam under Umar radiallahu an. We know the lands of Persia, the lands of Sham, the lands of Egypt, all of these areas, they entered into the fold of Islam during the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. And thus, the passing of Umar radiallahu an was an extremely great tragedy for the Muslims, one of the greatest tragedies in the history of Islam. And so I wanted to very briefly talk about it. There are many different lessons that we can learn from this great tragedy of the passing of Umar radiallahu an and his martyrdom at the hands of an evil man. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an, in the year 23 after Hijrah, he performed Hajj. And this was to be his final Hajj. And while he was on his journey on the way back, right after making Hajj, we know that the du'as of the Hujjaj are accepted. He made a du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made a du'a to Allah, "Oh Allah, my age has become very much, kabirat sinni." And then he said that, My body has become very weak. وَانْتَشَرَتْ رَعِيَّتِي And the people have become all scattered and spread out. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقْبِضْنِي إِلَيْكَ غَيْرَ مُفَرِّطٍ وَلَا مُضَيِّعٍ That, oh Allah, take me back to you in a manner that I'm not taking away anybody else's right. And I don't have any sort of deficiency in taking care of the matters of the Muslims. So even when he's making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after he longs to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants to pass away. Even in this state, he doesn't just want to leave the ummah in a manner that they're not taken care of. Rather, he wants to die in a state that he's taking care of everybody's needs and taking care of everybody's rights. And so we see that this dua of Umar radiallahu anhu was accepted very soon after that, maybe 10, 15 days after that, Umar radiallahu an, he ended up passing away. Now, what was the story of the passing of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an? So before his passing, he had given a khutbah. And in that khutbah, he had mentioned that I've seen a dream in which a rooster had come, had pecked at me twice. And I do not see that as meaning anything other than my own death. And it was interpreted also that this is referring to his death at the hand of a non-Arab. And so what happened is some days later, at the time of Salatul Fajr, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an, he started to lead the Salah. He said, Allahu Akbar. In some narrations it mentions he was reciting Suratul Nahl. In other narrations it mentions he was reciting Suratul Yusuf alayhi salam. And so, he started to recite the Qur'an in his normal, very beautiful manner, and he was crying, as he would normally do when he would recite the Qur'an in Salah. And then, when in some narrations, as he got to the sajda, a man came out of the sufuf, he came out of the rows of the Muslims, and he went and he stabbed Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu at least twice. And in the commotion, it was nighttime as well, meaning it was Fajr time, but it was dark at the time of Fajr. And so people did not know what had happened. And they were saying, subhanAllah, they thought that Umar radiallahu anhu had forgotten. They were wondering what the delay was all about. And then Umar radiallahu anhu, he yelled out that ta'anani al-kalb, that this dog has stabbed me. And so there was a commotion, and immediately this man, he started stabbing everybody he passed by until he stabbed 13 of the great Muslims that were there at the Salat al-Fajr, and seven of those that had been stabbed ended up passing away. Finally, one of the Muslims, he threw his burnus, his cloak, onto the man, and realizing that he was about to be caught because he got stuck in that cloak, he immediately killed himself, and that was the end of that man. Later on, they found out the identity of the man. The man was none other than Abu Lu'lu'a al-Majusi Fayroz la'anahu Allah ta'ala. He was a man who was a fire worshipper. He was a Majusi. He ended up in Medina because he was a slave of Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu ta'ala an, one of the Sahaba radiallahu an. And it is interesting to note that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an, before that point, he had actually made a decree that the non-Muslims will not be residing in Medina. Why? Because of his foresight, he knew that now Islam is spreading. Now Islam is going to all these different lands, and those who accept Islam, alhamdulillah, they are completely happy with this. But those of the people who were remnants, they still stayed as their previous faith. They had this sort of hatred towards Islam and the Muslims, and they wanted to look for any sort of moment they could get to harm Islam and the Muslims, and especially, of course, the Khalifa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would be the first target. And so, due to his foresight, he prevented, generally speaking, the people who were not Muslims from entering Medina. However, there were a few exceptions that were made for Sahaba who needed certain slaves or certain workers who had certain professions. And so Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi happened to be one of those people who was very good. He was a Najjar, he was a blacksmith, and so he was very good at crafting certain things. And so Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, he had asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for permission for this man to stay in Medina, and so he was granted permission. And this is an important lesson that we learn, al-hadar la yunji min al-qadar, that no matter how many precautions we take, no matter how much foresight we have, at the end of the day, our caution can never save us from qadr, that which was written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even though Umar radiallahu anhu, basically, you could say he foresaw this happening. Yet, despite this, you know, due to whatever reasons happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed that this man would stay in Medina, and he would be able to enact his evil plot against Islam and the Muslimin. And so that is an important lesson for us in life that we should think about. That no matter, you know, many times a difficulty or some hardship may happen to us in life, now we shouldn't just sit on that and be depressed. Rather, especially if we have taken all of our precautions, at the end of the day, we say what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us to say, which is قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed it, and whatever He willed has occurred. Right? We should not say, as the hadith mentions, lo. Right? If only such and such, if only I did this, or if only I did that. Umar radiallahu anhu did not sit there and say that if only I had prevented this particular man from staying in Medina, this wouldn't have happened. No, he was completely pleased with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the way the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, that فَإِنْ أَصَابَكَ شَيْءٌ فَلَا تَقُلْ لَوْ أَنِّي فَعَلْتُ كَانَ كَذَا وَكَذَا. If something happens to you, do not say, if only I had done such and such thing, then this would have happened. Rather, you say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed, and whatever He wills will happen. And this is a great antidote for us against depression and against anxiety that happens due to things that have happened in the past. We remind ourselves that everything is with the qada and the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this man, before he had perpetrated this evil act, he had actually had an incident with Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. A couple of incidents. One incident was that his owner, Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhu, he wanted to He was taking a certain amount of money of him per day. So this man had to work a certain amount to give him every single day, a few dirhams. And so he complained to Rasulullah Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, that, you know, my master Mughira ibn Shu'bah is taking too much money from me. And so Umar radiallahu an said that, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey your master. That was what he was telling him from his side, but he actually had the intention to go to Mughira ibn Shu'bah and tell him to lessen the load and make things easy for your slave. And so he actually did a favor for this man right before he had passed away, the same man who had killed him. He had actually done him a favor. However, this man didn't see the other side of the picture, which is that he was going to go to his master and tell him to make things easier for him. And so he held this in it as a grudge in his heart, that, oh, you are just to every single person in the whole world. The entire world experiences your justice except for me. And so he started feeling this in his heart, and this hatred, and of course added to that extra hatred of the fact that Islam had taken over his homeland, this had led him to do such an evil and filthy act as such that he did, which was the killing of the great Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. Another point to note here is that this evil man, the Majusi Abu Lu'lu'a, this man is actually revered by one of the groups who claims to be Muslims, which are the Shia. We know that the Shia, they actually hate the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have terrible beliefs about the Sahaba, especially Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, Umar radiallahu an, Aisha radiallahu anha, and some of these amazing and great noble Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And so, these people actually view this man, Abu Lu'lu'a, to be a hero. They view him, they actually had a shrine enacted in his honor, and they went and pay respect, they used to go and pay respects to this person. And they, when they, even now when they say his name, they say radiyallahu an next to his name, even though we curse the same man who had caused such affliction to Islam and the Muslimin. And so this is something that should let us know, which side are these people really on? Are they on the side of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the beloved Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, or whose side are they really on? Now we see that Abu Bakr, Umar radiyallahu an, he was stabbed, and he was at that point where he was at his deathbed. He was taken home, and for a couple of days, he was basically bleeding out. He was on his deathbed. Everybody knew he was going to pass away. And there were a couple of statements that are worth highlighting that Umar radiallahu anhu said at this point, which show his high level of iman. So he was in a state of unconsciousness. His state was so bad that whenever he would drink some sort of milk or some sort of nabidh, as some narrations mention, it would actually just come straight out from his wound on the side. That's how terrible his state was for those couple of days. And so he was this. And so the people would wonder that, how do we wake him up for salah? But as soon as they mentioned, immediately Umar radiallahu anhu, his eyes would open up. And then he would say that there is no place in Islam for the person who does not pray his salah. And even in this state, he would pray his salah. Imagine how much importance Umar radiallahu anhu, despite being in this state where every single one of us would excuse ourselves, yet despite this, he did not make an excuse, and he mentioned this statement about the importance of salah. Now what about us? Unfortunately, the slightest excuse, oh, we're traveling, therefore we don't have to pray. Oh, I'm out shopping, therefore I don't have to pray. Oh, I'm busy with work, therefore I don't have to pray. Whereas Umar radiallahu anhu is literally on his deathbed. He is so sick that he is basically almost in a state of coma, and the whatever he drinks is coming out of his sides. Yet despite this, he gives such importance to salah, and he reminds us that the person who does not have a salah in his life, then they have no place in Islam. And so this is an important lesson for every single one of us. We should realize how important our salah is. Another important statement that Umar radiallahu anhu said, even at this crucial state in his deathbed, is that once a man was coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a young man, and he was praising Umar radiallahu anhu that you have fulfilled your trust and you have done such good for the Muslims. And yet, what does Umar radiallahu anhu say? He says, come closer. And then he says in a nice way, but a firm way, that you should raise your garment, because his garment had gone below his ankles. He says, because فَإِنَّهُ أَطْهَرُ لِثَوْبِكَ وَأَنْقَى لِقَلْبِكَ وَأَرْضَى لِرَبِّكَ, that you should raise your garment above your ankles, because that will keep your clothing more pure. Not only that, it will also purify your heart And also because that is more beloved to your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine, you know, we see these things as petty, as not important. We like to say that, oh, you know, the importance is not of what we have on the outside, it is within the heart that matters. Yet this is Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, one of the greatest people to step foot on the face of the earth. And this is what he is giving importance to on his deathbed. And so that should help us to realize how important these things, these commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were to these great individuals. And then we see at the end, Umar radiallahu anhu, he has so much tawadhu and so much humility. Despite the fact that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is coming to him, he's saying, Hani'an laka, that congratulations to you, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. You accepted Islam when other people had rejected. You engaged in jihad with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when others had run away from his side. And you were accepted by all the Muslims to be the Khalifa. And now you have died as a shaheed. Basically, he was telling him that you're guaranteed Jannah. Yet what did Umar radiallahu anhu say? He said that even if I had all of the wealth in the entire world at this moment, I would spend it all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect me from the horrors of the Day of Judgment. Meaning even at this point, he had done so much for the sake of the deen, yet he was not content. He did not think that I'm guaranteed Jannah. Rather, at this point even, he was afraid and wondering. And in other narrations, it mentions that he was even rubbing his face in the dirt out of humility. And he was saying that, وَيْلَكَ يَا عُمَرُ. Woe to you, O Umar, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive you, then what state you will be in? And so he was in this state of fear. And that was the kamal of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Despite their actions being the greatest of all actions, they still did not have full trust only in their actions. Rather, they knew that if it is not for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I cannot get anywhere. And so they were not reliant on their actions, rather they were constantly turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept their actions and to have mercy on them. And so this was the state of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And finally, Aisha radiallahu anha, she had reserved a place next to her father and next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for her own burial. And Umar radiallahu anhu asked her permission, and she granted Umar radiallahu anhu. Imagine such a great thing to give up. Yet she had so much love and respect for Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an, that she gave up her own place next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and next to Abu Bakr radiallahu an, her own father. And so Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an was buried in such great company, the greatest company a person could ever imagine and a person could ever want. And so Umar radiallahu an is buried there till today. And every time we go, we say salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salam to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, and salam to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. Finally, I wanted to mention that Abu Bakr radiallahu an is mentioned in a hadith that Hudhayfa ibn Yaman radiallahu an, he was a person who constantly used to ask about evil because he was afraid that he would fall into evil. And so he knew about all the fitnas that were to come. So Umar radiallahu an once asked him about fitna. And then Hudhayfa radiallahu an, he said, what do you have to worry about fitna? There is a door between you and all these trials and tribulations, and they will not come until you are gone. And so he asked, this door between me and the fitna, will it be opened or will it be broken? And he replied, this door will be broken. And later on he was asked, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, that who was this door? And he replied, it was none other than Umar radiallahu anhu himself. This door was broken, meaning he was killed. And what happened? Immediately all the fitnas started coming upon the ummah. And we see a lot of strife in the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, in the time of Ali radiallahu anhu. We see a lot of fitna amongst the Muslims. And these fitnas have only increased until today. We are in a time of the fitna of Dajjal, the fitna of Dajjal, in which people, they're changing the deen. They're naming it different things. This just as Dajjal will name things certain things, even though the reality is something different. He will show a river in a garden, even though it will actually be fire. And so in the same way, we see the fitnas piling one upon each other in our times today. And this is what is happening today. And we see that Umar radiallahu anhu, he was a door, he was a preventer of these fitnas. So for example, a person would come and he would start asking about the mutashabihat, the ambiguous ayat. And what would he do? This person named Subayr ibn Asal, he started coming to Medina and asking about these ayat that may cause some confusion. And what did he do? He had the man whipped and taken out of Medina. Why? Because of his foresight, he saw that we cannot let just anybody speak about Islam. Rather, only people of true knowledge and wisdom. This is why he would send Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu to Kufa. He would send a different Sahaba to different areas to teach them authentic knowledge. Today the problem that we have is that the people just see anything on social media and they believe in these things and they fall into fitna, whether it be into doubt or they fall into incorrect beliefs about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so we see in an age of information, everybody goes out there, they think that they have a right to say whatever they want about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are trying to change the deen of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is ever the paramount importance that today we recognize the proper sources of knowledge and we do not take our deen from just anyone and anyone, just like the legacy of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu teaches us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
MashaAllah, we say Jazakumullah khairan to our respected guest, Mufti Saim Asif from the US, who had studied also if the Mufti Qazi Darul Zakaria, also assisted as Mufti Radaul Haqsab in the tafsir of Quran that is being compiled. May Allah Ta'ala accept these very, very valuable words, your sincere muhabbat and love for Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, all the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Protect our tongues and hearts from saying anything regarding any companion of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a reminder, after the remaining, after Salah, inshallah, the collection that takes place, the honor of contributing to the house of Allah Ta'ala, let's try and contribute generously. Also tonight, after Maghrib, a program will take place at Rawdatul Islam Masjid in Roosevelt Park. Quran Sharif Khatam, as well as the reading of the Bukhari Sharif, the most authentic compilation of ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The objective is these amal, dhikr, istighfar, to draw the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. It's been proven highly effective in drawing the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, removing difficulties from the ummah. You see what is happening right now in Gaza. Just yesterday, more than 70 made shaheed in the most brutal manner. But Allah Ta'ala is great over all things. We adopt every means to draw the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. This program after Maghrib at Rawdatul Islam, inshallah.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن العظيم من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا ليجزي الله الصادقين بصدقهم ويعذب المنافقين إن شاء أو يتوب عليهم إن الله كان غفورا رحيما صدق الله العظيم هذا وأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن العظيم: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وارض اللهم عن الصحابة أجمعين، خصوصا على الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي رضي الله تعالى عنهم، وعلى بنات النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الطاهرات زينب ورقية وأم كلثوم وفاطمة، وعن أزواجه خصوصا عن خديجة وعائشة وحفصة رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وألف بين قلوبهم، وأصلح ذات بينهم، وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم لعن الكفرة الذين يصدون عن سبيلك، ويكذبون رسلك، ويقاتلون أولياءك. اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم، وزلزل أقدامهم، وشتت شملهم، ومزق جمعهم، وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين. اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم، ونعوذ بك من شرورهم. اللهم استر عورات المسلمين، وآمن روعاتهم. اللهم آتي نفوسنا تقواها، وزكها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها ومولاها. عباد الله، رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى، وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي، يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم، وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. سووا صفوفكم فإن تسوية الصفوف من إقامة الصلاة. Let's make sure our lines are straight and here is on the line. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم، غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى، والذي قدر فهدى، والذي أخرج المرعى، فجعله غثاء أحوى، سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله، إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى، ونيسرك لليسرى، فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى، سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى، ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا، قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى، بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى، إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.